the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
What if there was a medical technology that is not invasive that could increase your energy levels, improve your overall health, wellness, and longevity by reducing pain, boosting your body's immune system, reduce inflammation, and slow down aging, and help arrest or slow down the degenerative process of dementia and Alzheimer's? Well, that's medical technology exists today, and it's called photobiomodulation, or RLT, and that is the subject of today's program. Joining me on the program is Dr. Michael Belikowski. He hosts the number one podcast on red light therapy and is the founder of BioLite, a company that makes RLT equipment. Doctor, I want to begin with, what is RLT therapy, how it works, and why is it creating a growing following in the medical field? Let's begin with that.
So you called it photobiomodulation, which is its scientific term. Like if you're going into PubMed or ResearchGate and you're trying to look for the research, all of these different names for red light therapy, which you correctly gave the acronym RLT, if you go into like PubMed or to the scientific research, red light therapy is not going to be there. So you want to use that scientific term, photobiomodulation, which encapsulates all these other previously referred to terms such as LLLT, which is low level laser therapy, photodynamic therapy. I mean, there's legitimately 100+ terms that all comprise what they've now, by they, I mean the scientists and the researchers, are putting under that one umbrella name, which is photobiomodulation. So to your point, that is what it's currently called. And to the lay public, we call it red light therapy. So to your point, what is red light therapy? How does it work? Why is it so amazing? And the first point to get out of the way is that red light therapy actually comprises two wavelengths or two spectra of light. The first is obviously the visible red. So when you see people posting it on social media or you have a device, it's that nice, beautiful red light. And then there's a second wavelength that's actually invisible to the human eye, and that's near infrared light. Not to be confused with the infrared light of saunas, which predominantly use mid and far infrared. And why do all of these wavelengths matter? Well, the length is what matters because, for example, red light is the shortest wavelength of all those wavelengths I just described. Granted, it's actually the longest wavelength of the visible wavelength spectrum. So here's our first rabbit hole, Jim. I'm already going down it. But the difference between red and near infrared light as it relates to red light therapy is that that visible red light doesn't go any deeper than the skin level. So let's say you're trying to get that beautiful anti-aging skin treatment. You're trying to heal some wounds or all types of skin maladies. It can even be psoriasis, eczema, vitiligo, you name it, melasma. You want to use that red light because that's the wavelength that's going to be treating the skin surface. Anything deeper than the skin, be it ligaments, tendons, muscles, organs, of course, the brain, you want to be integrating that invisible near infrared light because it's a longer wavelength, so it penetrates deeper. And just to kind of finish that thought, that's why infrared saunas penetrate so deeply and you get that deep detox is because now you're using wavelengths that are even longer than the near infrared light of red light therapy. And so back to red light therapy, we have two wavelengths and there's no differences, as far as I'm aware of, about the effects they have on the body. It's purely the depth, which is the differentiating factor between red and near infrared light. So they do the exact same thing, like you alluded to, the reducing of inflammation, the improving of circulation, the boosting of mitochondrial health, which has to do with that energy production you're talking about. So those things happen with both wavelengths, just different depths in the body.
I want to quote something from your book. You talk about too many dysfunctional mitochondria leads to a dysfunction cell. Too many dysfunctional cells lead to a dysfunctional tissue. And too many dysfunctional tissues lead to a dysfunctional organ. And lastly, too many dysfunctional organs lead to death. I want you to pick up on that.
That's typically where this rabbit hole eventually leads to, but I appreciate you bringing me there a little quicker. To step back just a moment before we go directly to there, when you hear about all of these things that red light therapy seemingly helps with, because it can help with sleep, it can help with anxiety, stress, depression, neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, it can help with thyroid, it can help with digestion and improving your oral and gut microbiome, it can help with athletic performance, it can help with sleep, it can help with improving your HRV, which I guess is another way of saying reducing stress. It can help with so many things, and it sounds like a snake oil pitch, and I know how that sounds, but it can do so many things, and it can be so effective and efficacious and safe because it's positively affecting the mitochondria. And the mitochondria is ultimately the root cause of over or upwards of 80% of modern diseases. And this brings us to the point or the quote you just brought up. So if we really want to treat the root cause and not just slap a Band-Aid on there, which is what allopathic medicine has become, I guess, more or less popular for, it's great for acute care, but a lot of it is a Band-Aid, whether you want to look at surgeries or even different type of pharmaceuticals. It's just a Band-Aid for the situation, doesn't resolve the root cause. Treating the mitochondria seems to be the root cause for a vast majority of issues. Even when I was growing up, we were taught that our health and our health span and our really our what diseases we're going to come down with was already dictated by our DNA. And that has been completely debunked in the last decade or two. And we have found out that it's much more malleable. Our lifestyle really dictates our health and our longevity and our vitality. And again, a lot of that comes down to the mitochondria. So why are the mitochondria so important? Because they produce upwards of 95% of all of the energy in our body in these little packets of energy called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. And if we refer to someone who's considered the top mitochondrial researcher in the world, Dr. Doug Wallace, he has said essentially that the more energy you have per cell, the less disease you're going to have. Said another way, the less energy you have or the more dysfunctional mitochondria you have, because again, mitochondria produce energy. If they're dysfunctional, they're not producing energy as they should. So the less energy you have per cell, the more disease state you're going to have in that cell. So that brings us to that quote where, and let me backpedal just one more time, Jim, bear with me. The amount of mitochondria in a given cell depends on the tissue or the organ that it's in, meaning the more energy intensive a tissue or an organ is, the more mitochondrial dense it's going to be. For example, the most mitochondrial dense tissues, i.e. the most energy intensive tissues, are the brain, the eyes, the liver, skeletal muscle, and so the heart as well. So those are the tissues that require the most energy, which is great because if we can provide it with them, those organs and those tissues are going to function well. But it's a double-edged sword because as soon as we hit this tipping point of your mitochondria going from functional, producing ATP efficiently, to becoming dysfunctional, those are the same tissues, those are the same organs where you're going to see issues arise quickly or more quickly and more rapidly because the demise of the mitochondria in your brain, that's where we see the anxiety, the Alzheimer's, the Parkinson's, and all those neurodegenerative diseases. So again, to kind of refer to that quote again, mitochondria, we can have tens, we can have hundreds, we can have thousands, we can have tens of thousands of mitochondria per cell, depending on the energy required for that tissue. So again, if we can utilize strategies, and this is where red light therapy comes into the picture, we can kind of get out of the science for the moment. The reason why red light therapy can help so many things is because it's one of the best ways to optimize your mitochondrial health. And if you're already healthy, it's just another way to be prophylactic and keep those mitochondria as healthy and as vibrant and as functional for as long as possible so that you don't hit that tipping point of dysfunctional mitochondria and coming down with a laundry list of diseases that are directly tied to mitochondrial dysfunction. So if we can use something as simple as light, red and near infrared light, that improves mitochondrial health, and same with methylene blue, then you're going to keep all those cells happy, which is going to keep all those tissues happy, and the organs, the systems, the whole body.
In your book, you describe something called biphasic dose response, or BDR. Explain BDR in something we call hormesis.
So that's a critical point for people to understand who are interested in using red light therapy, because the devil is in the dosage, and not in a bad way, but just because if you want an effective red light therapy treatment, it comes down to the dosage. It's very easy to do too much. I think it's very difficult to do too little. And so the biphasic dose response is just simply a bell curve where you want to get the dosage of your red light therapy, and we'll get into the variables here shortly. You want to get the dosage right underneath the middle of that bell curve. And the reason you want that is because if you overdose, so to speak, or overtreat, or the amount of joules your body absorbs is not correct, then you're simply just not going to get the benefits you're looking for with red light therapy. So you'll hear people that try red light therapy and like, they're, it didn't work for me. Well, that's probably because they either underdosed, or more likely they overdosed. Maybe that's not the proper term, but they did too much red light therapy for the benefits they're trying to achieve. The caveat to that is the healthier you are, Jim, the less you're going to notice. And that goes with any type of treatment you're doing, whether it's hyperbaric or red light therapy or cold plunges or different supplements and foods or exercise. It's like the healthier you are, the less you're going to notice, because there's not really much room to improve upon, if you will. So again, that doesn't mean it's not working. You're still nourishing your mitochondria. You're still helping move the needle forward as far as health and longevity. But the healthier you are, the less you're going to notice. And then another way to put it is the sicker you are, you're going to notice this rapid improvement or this marked increase, because you have so much room to reach that homeostasis. So back to the biphasic dose response and the dosage of red light therapy, dosages depend on what you're trying to treat. So this is where we kind of get into the weeds. And for people that want to be really pinpoint and specific with their treatments, this is important stuff. And before I go into the details here, Jim, I'll also preface this by saying, I think by and large, if people just expose themselves to these wavelengths, the red and the near infrared, on a consistent basis, you're likely going to see health benefits. So you don't have to get bogged down in the nuances and the details if you don't want. But if, let's say, you're trying to improve your thyroid health, or if you're trying to improve some knee pain, or if you're trying to improve like some mental status, then it does pays due to kind of learn about the details. And so the reason it matters, for example, if you're treating just the skin, because that's one of the most popular reasons people use red light therapy, is for improving their skin health. They just want to look good and feel good. And so skin treatments require the lowest dosage. And we're talking a minute or two of that red light only to see the improvements in your skin. And you can do that 2 times, maybe 3 times per week. Whereas when I got into this red light therapy space, the common suggestion was 20 minutes of red light therapy every single day. And with all the research I've read and with all I've learned, that's just simply not true. That's just too much. And it's kind of overkill. So there's that example of the skin, a couple minutes, red light only. Compare that to, let's say, treating the brain because you want to reduce some stress or just improve your cognition. Maybe you have a test or a podcast interview coming up. So you want to improve your brain cognition. You would want to use near infrared light only, because you want to penetrate through the skin, through the skull, get some light to the brain. And we're talking upwards of 10 minutes. So you can see, just between those two different protocols, or two different things you're trying to target, vastly different protocols. But even within those protocols I just said, and this is where we kind of get bogged down in the nuances, the numbers I just gave are dependent on the light irradiance of your device. So there's a couple of metrics or a couple of variables people need to know when trying to produce their protocol or their dosage. And one is, you need to know the light irradiance of your device. that's another word for light power. So how strong is that light? How many photons are being emitted in a given time frame? And that can literally be adjusted with the distance that you are from the light. So of course, the closer you are, the more strong the light is, the farther away it is, the weaker it's going to be. And so that can either increase or decrease the duration of your treatment.
And that's something I want to move into, because there's so many questions I have for you. You talk about the strength of the device and the timing of treatments and the duration and distance. Let's discuss each of those. So for example, as you just mentioned, if I wanted to treat my skin, I'd probably want to be further away from the device and not as long. Versus, let's say I'm trying to treat an ailment. I have a pain in my back or something that I'm dealing with. Explain how all this is put together, because in your book, you've got protocols for just about most of the ailments that I would say 80% of us people deal with.
Yeah. So the protocols that are in there, Jim, again, I don't just whimsically come up with these protocols. They're all based on the most current research. So I believe you have the fourth edition of that ebook I created years ago, and I update once or twice a year. I'm currently in the middle of updating it and making a pretty big overhaul to it, because the discussion you and I are having now is going to be, I don't want to say much more simple, but this ecosystem I'm trying to build will make developing your own protocol much more easier, because it's not going to be predicated on having a BioLite device or particular device. We'll get to your questions here, Jim, but let me just ramble here for a moment. Because right now what you have is an ebook that tells you distance, time, which lights to use. But that's no good if you have, let's say, even within BioLite, we have panels that have strong lights. And then like you have the cocoon, the light irradiance is extremely, extremely low, relatively speaking. Granted, you're covering your whole body all at once. And so you can imagine the light irradiances across the market. So different companies with different devices, they're all going to have different light irradiances. So that ebook that I created, while it's a great step in the right direction, and quite frankly, it's the only resource out there like it that I'm aware of. So it's a great step in the right direction, but I'm about to make a massive improvement to it, in the sense that as long as you know the light irradiance of your device, which hopefully it's third-party tested, but it's probably not based on the market research I've done. Right now, I think BioLite and another company called Jemba Red are the only two companies that have third-party tested their devices. And third-party testing might not sound that important, but it is, because other devices from other companies, and we're talking the quote-unquote most popular ones out there, they're touting that their devices are putting out, let's say, 100 milliwatts per centimeter squared or 150 milliwatts per centimeter squared. But individuals with high-tech measuring devices have tested these exact devices from the companies, and they're actually putting out 20%, 30%, 50% less light irradiance than is marketed on their websites.
I want to move on next. What is the difference between, let's say, infrared panels and an infrared sauna? That would be one question. And if I'm doing, let's say, infrared light, could I also in the same day do an infrared sauna, or would that be too much?
So the mitochondria only respond to red wavelengths, which are 600 to 700 nanometer, and then near infrared, which is about 700 to, I think, 2400 nanometer. And so that's why red light therapy is what it is, meaning it's those two wavelengths, and it doesn't comprise mid, or it doesn't comprise orange. It's because the mitochondria respond to red and near infrared. And so as far as I'm aware, you can certainly do red light therapy and infrared saunas in the same day, because you're not targeting the same tissues, or you're not getting the same responses. It's kind of like apples and oranges. They're both very beneficial. We've described what red light therapy does, while infrared saunas, again, you get that deep detox, improved circulation, improved heat shock protein synthesis, and a host of other benefits. So certain, and I do it all the time, I do them both in the same day. Some saunas say, or are beginning to integrate, red light therapy panels. And what I learned this summer when I interviewed Dr. Praveen Irani, who's one of the most respected photobiomodulation researchers, he informed me that he recently learned that if you do red light therapy simultaneously with infrared saunas or with a sauna, the heat from the sauna will inhibit the benefits of red light therapy. So this whole notion of like making panels for inside of saunas or like bringing your gadget into the sauna, you're actually kind of wasting your time and hopefully not ruining your product, because the heat again is going to inhibit whatever benefits you think you're receiving from the red light therapy.
I know that dermatologists have used red light for cosmetic purposes, for example, reducing aging and wrinkles. How is what is used in cosmetics different for what is done, for example, pain, inflammation, ailments, diseases such as dementia and Alzheimer's? And are there different wavelengths that you're using for, let's say, cosmetic versus, let's say, a disease or malady?
Jim, so are you saying specifically to red light therapy, are there different wavelengths for like cosmetic versus?
Yes. In other words, what dermatologists are using for aging and wrinkles, is that any different than what somebody might use for, let's say, a malady?
So with dermatologists, are you referring to like if they're using light, or are you just talking about some of their treatments in general?
No, just light.
Good question. I guess it just depends on the dermatologist and what they're treating. I guess I'm not completely savvy if they actually use red or near infrared lasers, because I think typically that's what they use as lasers, which is, and this brings up a good question. It's like, are lasers more beneficial and effective than LEDs, which is what's used in the consumer products? And Dr. Michael Hamblin out of Harvard, he's considered the top photobiomodulation researcher. He scoured the research and compared laser therapy to LED therapy in regards to red light therapy, and found that you get comparable results with lasers or LEDs, which was a massive statement to make, because that means you don't need A, lasers, which are extremely expensive, which you can attest to, and then B, lasers are more dangerous or inherently more dangerous because you can heat your tissue, which you don't want to heat your tissue because that leads to damage and death of the tissue. So it's more expensive and it's more dangerous than LEDs, which are more affordable, safer, and just as effective. As far as what dermatologists use, again, I can't speak directly to that. But again, let's say they're using the laser of a red light. It's no different than you or I using the red light from one of our red light therapy devices. Again, this is kind of something I presumed that lasers, which are much more high powered compared to LEDs, penetrate deeper, but it's literally the wavelength that dictates the depth of penetration, which I alluded to earlier, and not the strength of the device. So lasers, let's say the dermatologist is using a red laser of the same wavelength that we're using with our LED device. They're gonna go the exact same depth into the body, but the laser is gonna be putting way more, exponentially more photons at a given time compared to the LEDs, which is why it can heat the tissue so quickly. And if you look at some of the photobiomodulation research that uses lasers for their treatments are like seconds long, 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds long, because you're getting so much light energy so quickly. And so I don't know if that answers your question, but again, if they're using light, well, it all comes down to dosage. And if they're using lasers, their treatments are just going to be seconds compared to our devices with LEDs, which are going to take minutes.
Can red light therapy be used for the treatment of cancer?
Ooh, you're asking a tricky one there. So there isn't a lot of research, interestingly, directly on the effects of cancer. That's not to say it can't help. There's actually been some governmental bodies who have said that infrared light, near infrared light, is actually beneficial in the fight against cancer. But if you, again, go to PubMed or go to ResearchGate, you're going to find that a lot of the research with red light therapy surrounding cancer is actually on treating the effects of cancer treatments, i.e. chemotherapy. So red light therapy is extremely beneficial at mitigating or reversing some of the negative side effects that are associated with the cancer treatments, not necessarily on cancer directly itself. And again, that's not to say it can't help, but we're just too early on in the process, in the research process, to definitively say this is how you should use red light therapy on an active cancer site, or no, it's not safe at all. Same thing with pregnancy. So those are kind of a couple of the contraindications at this moment in time, is don't treat an active cancer site with red light therapy, meaning if you have an active cancer site, let's say in your right shoulder, well, you can treat areas that are distal away from that area and you should be safe. If you're pregnant, you shouldn't directly irradiate the womb. That's not to say it's not safe. We just don't know. So err on the side of caution and just treat in different areas away from the womb. One last contraindication would be epilepsy. If someone's very sensitive to light and reacts in such a way, probably don't want to do red light therapy around that person. But outside of those three things, red light therapy is extremely safe.
Well, let's take two kinds of cancer for men and women. And I'm talking about prostate cancer for men and breast cancer for women. If you had either of those two cancers, is it safe to use red light therapy, or do you need to, for example, cover the areas where the cancer was, no light access?
So let me pose this question to you, Jim. If you had cancer in those areas, would you be afraid to expose them to sunlight? And this can just be a rhetorical question, but I say that because red and near infrared light is literally just two spectra of light pulled from the sun. And again, through research, we have determined and found out that red and near infrared light is very special for the mitochondria, but it's just two wavelengths from full spectrum sunlight. So if you wouldn't be afraid to get exposed to the sunlight with a given condition, red light therapy is not much different. And I'm not here to provide medical advice and say it's safe and go ahead and do it, because while I say that about the sunlight, red light therapy devices are a much stronger, concentrated form of the red and the near infrared light. In the sunlight, of course, it's part of the entire spectrum, whereas these devices we're talking about are highly concentrated red, highly concentrated near infrared. So to your point, yeah, if you have active cancer sites like that, err on the side of caution, cover them up, and you can treat areas around them.
Can red light therapy used every day of the week, or is it beneficial, for example, to take a few days off, or let's say alternate days? I do red light therapy Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursdays, I take off. What's your view there?
My view is, based on the research, every day is highly overkill. That's if you're treating the same spot. So this is where it gets a little nuanced as well. Let's say you want to treat the skin on your face, but then in another, you also want to treat some pain in your knee, but you also want to treat your gut microbiome, but you also want to treat like your brain. So like a lot of people have multiple areas they want to treat. So you could technically do red light therapy every day if you're doing these spot treatments and you're kind of just alternating when those spot treatments are being treated. So to your point, maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm treating my brain and my gut. And then Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday or something like that, you know, I'm doing the anti-aging skin on my face and I'm treating that sore spot on my knee. So you could literally do it every day if you're doing spot treatments. But if you're doing something like a full body treatment, then yeah, more like every other day. I always say anywhere from 2 to 4 days on a weekly basis is probably going to lead to the best results versus trying to do it every single day. Because you get this thing called a hormetic response. And I think you asked about this earlier with the biphasic dose response. But a hormetic response is essentially like, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. So just like exercise, you lift weights and then you tear down muscle fibers and they rebuild themselves back and you're stronger the next time you go to lift weights and impose another stress on those muscles. Light is the same way, where it's a stress response and you wouldn't want to provide that stress response every single day because you need to allow time to recover so that the next time you go and stress it with the light, it's ready to take on that stress load and then some. And so that's partly why you don't want to do it every day.
Now, there's something else that you talk about, and that is the treatment of eye health from macular degeneration, dry eye, retinal damage. How does that work, given the brightness of the lights? Because, I mean, if I was outside, I'm a sailor, I wouldn't look directly at the sun. I would look at an angle from the sun rather than directly, you know, or I'm wearing sunglasses. And I know in some red light therapy, you wear these black goggles that protect your eyes. So how does that work for the eye?
So similar to skin, the eye has no barrier to entry for the light, meaning it requires a very, very low dosage to achieve the results you're looking for. Because everything else, like you have to go through the skin barrier, you have to go through other extracellular matrices and whatnot. For the brain, you have to go through that skull in which very little light actually makes it to the brain, but it's that small amount that makes a big difference. So with the eye, sensitive organ, there's no barrier to entry for the light. So when we compare it to all other treatments, just like the skin, it's very low. So if you're standing in front of a panel or you're exposing your body to one of these handheld devices for like 5 or 10 minutes at a clip, well, that's going to be far too much for the eye. And to your point, that visible red light, depending on the device, the higher the light irradiance, the brighter the light, the more harsh it's going to be. You're not going to want to look straight into those LEDs. We do have a device from BioLite called the Glow, which is actually sitting here on my desk because it's perfect for actually directing at your face and your eyes, because the light irradiance is so low, it truly lives up to its name. I can look directly into these LEDs and I find it calming. It's relaxing. But if I did this with a panel or even the shine you got, Jim, which is much more powerful than this Glow, you wouldn't want to look straight into those LEDs because it's too abrasive. So to answer your question, how does red light therapy work for the eye? Well, there's eye-specific, and I think even Sarah Turner told me on my podcast a couple of weeks ago, a device that was recently FDA approved for treating age-related macular degeneration, where it's almost like you're looking into this telescope or these like binocular-like piece of equipment that irradiates a very, very soft light at a very specific dosage into your eyes that has been shown to be effective for treating age-related macular degeneration and other eye things. And just to point to a piece of research, and I've mentioned this multiple times on my podcast and other interviews, and this brings up another good point about timing of treatments. But this treatment was looking at the ability to improve, gosh, I don't remember if it was age-related macular degeneration or just improving the sharpness of your vision, color vision, that type of thing with an older population. And so they used a very low dose of red light, and they did it in the morning where they got statistically significant benefits with vision. And then they took another group, did the treatments in the afternoon, and they got zero change with their eyes or any type of vision metrics, which pointed to the fact that at least in the eye, the mitochondria in the eye only respond to that red light in the morning, not in the afternoon. So now it kind of brings up this whole new variable of like, when is the best time to treat your mitochondria? From an ancestral standpoint, the greatest amount of red light in the sun is right as it's coming over that horizon in the morning, that morning sunlight. So it makes sense that our mitochondria, from an evolutionary standpoint, is used to the morning hours, the morning waking hours, to be ready to be exposed by that red wavelength. And so it seems to be, at least for the eyes, that seems to be the case.
I want to talk about the various red light devices, and there are a number of devices. Let's talk about, for example, what I call the big picture perspective, 3 or 4 categories of devices. You have panels, you've got mats, you've even got helmets and beds. What should a person be looking at when purchasing a device, number one? And, you know, we've talked about lasers. I've seen laser beds that can go up for $100,000 and laser panels that are selling for $4,000 a piece versus, let's say, a smaller panel LED that goes for $300-$400.
Yeah, kind of like we discussed with the whole laser LED situation. Anytime you're looking into laser, which I would not advocate for any consumer just because of this inherent safety issue and the price, lasers are simply more expensive. But great question, because it's like if you're interested or you're intrigued by this red light therapy, whether it's just for your overall health and wellness or you're really trying to treat a particular issue, there's a couple of variables or a couple of considerations you want to account for. The first one, of course, is price. So you got to kind of play within your own, you know, financial means. But secondly, if you're just looking for or trying to invest in what, you know, what's best for your situation, how important is portability? Is this like something you want to be able to take on the go? If it isn't, and then you may be more drawn to something that's like a full body panel or a full body mat, or at least like a half. Like there's tabletop panels that are like the size of a sheet of paper, which would cover about 1/3 to 1/2 of your body if you wanted to. If portability is a factor, then of course, maybe a handheld device or even that tabletop model I was just talking about, you know, that weighs about, I don't know, 10, 15 pounds. That's easy enough to move from room to room or even take it on a road trip. Whereas some of these full body panels, they can be 30, 50, 70 plus pounds. Some of the mats you're talking about are like the Cocoon, which is a full body 360 degree, essentially a red light therapy sleeping bag. Those are at least flexible where you can roll them up kind of like a yoga mat or flexible. So they're much more versatile and easily transportable. Again, whether it's just room to room or wanting to take it on a road trip or what have you. And so portability, that's the first thing you kind of have to decide on. Is that a factor? Is that important to you? And then secondly, and this one's kind of obvious, it's like, what are you trying to treat? Meaning how much surface area is required to treat what you're trying to treat? Are you just focused on the face because you want that beautiful skin? Do you have an autoimmune condition, which I always highly recommend? Full body treatments are almost a must because you want that systemic benefit of the red light therapy. And so those are the two main factors I would consider is portability. And then like, what are you trying to treat? Meaning how much surface area do you really need in order to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish? And maybe those will kind of intersect and cross each other where like you want to be able to treat your autoimmune condition or you're bought into the full body systemic benefits, but you also want to be able to take it on the go. Then maybe something like the Cocoon or the Matrix or a mat makes more sense because you can do full body and you can take it on the go. Or maybe time is also a factor. That's I guess, a third consideration. If time is a factor, then maybe you want a panel, which is going to be higher powered, meaning it takes less time to get the same dosage as, let's say, one of these mat, like the Matrix or the Cocoon that BioLite has, because those are going to be much lower light irradiance, meaning you'll have to be on there anywhere from 20, 30, 40 minutes, depending on what you're treating. Whereas with some of these panels, you can accomplish your treatment in about 5 or 10 minutes. So maybe you want a full body device like a panel, and then you also want a handheld device because you're going on the go and you like to have something while you're traveling. So these are just some of the things to consider.
What if I have several of these devices? Let's say I have a mat, a panel, or a helmet. Can I use several of these devices in the same day for different treatment purposes?
Sure. So you could legitimately use, well, so I mean, this talk about a rabbit hole, Jim. Yeah, like the helmet, that's very specific to the brain. So that's almost like a standalone treatment. You could wear that while you're doing a full body treatment. Like if you're in the Cocoon or Matrix and your head's kind of popping out or not being irradiated. So you could do the helmet. It doesn't have to be simultaneous, but you could do the helmet. You could do a full body panel or mat or what have you. I'm just trying to think of all the situations, Jim. Depending on if the light is hitting your face or not, then maybe you could take that handheld and treat your face with the red light only to get that skin treatment. So that way you're getting the brain, you're getting the face, and then you're getting the entire body below the shoulders. So it's like, yeah, there's a way to kind of puzzle that all together if you so chose to. Gosh, that'd be one heck of a way to spend a day. But, hey, I'm all for it.
Can you share, Doctor, any success stories that you've experienced administering RLT or other doctors who are using this to treat patients?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, where to begin? There's just countless stories of people reducing or abolishing all types of pain. People post motor vehicle accident where, and this is people I've just, customers I've talked to on the phone or through email. It's like they went to physical therapy for 6 to 8 weeks. Like their pain wasn't really getting reduced. They started full body red light therapy. Then like all of a sudden, like within a week, their pain was almost gone. And so they just, they become religious and evangelists about red light therapy. You have people with all different types of mental issues, especially stress, anxiety, depression. And when they start using red light therapy and methylene blue, which is a whole new topic, which particularly concentrates in the brain, then you see some very powerful cognitive benefits. My mom, basically lifetime issues with getting quality sleep. Full body red light therapy seemed to really move the needle for her in the right direction after, you know, virtually decades and decades of getting poor sleep. I mean, across the gamut, as far as athletes, just increased endurance, quicker recovery. So they're more ready to take on that next bout of exercise. skin is the fastest and by far the most pleasing for people to witness, because literally after a session or two of red light therapy, you can see improvements in your skin, especially if you're chronologically farther along and you already have some wrinkles or lines or what have you. Like red light therapy, again, after a session or two, certainly within the first week, you're noticing some really nice improvements, increased turgor of the skin, you know, because of the collagen elastin production, more color in your skin, just more vibrant. I mean, I'm just trying to think. I get emails all the time. Do you have any conditions specifically you could?
Well, I just know several of my clients. One has back pain. Back pain has gone away. Another one had knee joint pain. Knee joint pain has gone away. So I've heard all kinds of stories like this. But I want to get to when you are shopping for a red light device, how do you know what to look for? For example, I know that on your products, you have them independently tested by an outside party. So if you say your product produces X amount of wavelength, you probably have a high degree of confidence on that. What do patients or individuals need to look for when they're shopping for a device? We already talked about budget. So, you know, that's a consideration. But, you know, in terms of brand or different companies, what's important?
I guess one thing you don't want in a device is any type of Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, because that kind of goes against the whole notion of improving your cellular health and that thing. We're already surrounded by Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, 5G, what have you. So we're kind of swimming in this ocean. So there's no reason to further inundate ourselves with that, because we don't need more non-native EMFs than we're already exposed to. So nothing that integrates that. To your point, in a perfect world, and I hope this is kind of where the industry is moving as a whole, hopefully BioLite can kind of push that forward, is third-party independent testing to verify wavelengths, but probably more importantly is that light irradiance, because that's such a critical aspect of determining your dosage. And so, again, if we have companies that are saying their light irradiance is one thing, but it's really another, then you're not, A, you're just not buying, you're not getting the device you paid for, which that's just a whole morality integrity thing. But secondarily, it's impossible for you to get an accurate protocol dosage because you're relying on false information to dictate your dosage. So that's really the crux of it for me, is like, we need to get as many, if not all of these companies on board with third-party testing. And it's not to say my device is better than yours, because at the end of the day, if we're dictating dosage through these protocols that I'm going to help develop, and I guess I never came full circle with that thought, Jim, about the protocols, the reason why what I'm developing is going to work for all products is because, I don't know if you've gone to the calculator tab on the BioLite website, but if you go to the calculator tab, it'll ask you to put in the amount of joules, meaning light energy, that you want your session to have. And that's where all these protocols are going to come into play, because it's going to be like, for this brain issue, you want 3 joules. For this brain issue or like cognitive benefit, you want 6 joules. To improve your skin, you want 1. So I'm just going to have a laundry list of maladies and the correlative amount of joules you need based on the research. So you plug in the joules you want for this session. And then the second piece of information you need is the light irradiance. And that's why it's so important. Those are the only two things you need. And then the calculator is going to spit out the time for you. So this will work across all products, all companies, and you won't need to know or guess the distance, because the light irradiance is measured based on a certain distance. So most light irradiances are based on 6 inches. You'll notice on the website or with the third-party testing, Jim, with the BioLite products, I strategically had them measured either in one area or multiple areas. For example, if you're using the Matrix, which is a mat, or the Cocoon, which is that sleeping bag, I had those measured at 0 inches, because you're probably going to be virtually touching those LEDs as you're laying on it or sitting on it. Whereas with some of these other devices, like the handheld Shine or some of these other panels, I had them measured at multiple distances to give people options. So at least they're aware of, you know, what is the light irradiance at 6 inches versus 12 inches. So again, with this whole protocol system I'm building, you'll be given the joules with this catalog of conditions you can choose and pick from. And then you'll see how many joules you need. And then you need to know the light irradiance. And then boom, you have how many seconds or how many minutes your treatment should be. And so all of that to say is that when you're looking at companies, even to this day, it just seems like a lot of it is marketing, a lot of it is fluff. I would love to see more companies with third-party tests. And if you're out there and you're looking at other companies, and I'm not saying you know, BioLite's the end-all, be-all, please ask these other companies, like, do you have third-party testing? Because I think the more that they get asked this question, especially if they have to say, no, we don't, then maybe that'll help push them towards doing third-party testing. And again, it's not because one device is better than the other. It's just so the consumer or whomever that's purchasing these devices can be best equipped with the proper information. So then when we do go to, or as the consumer goes to choose the protocol of their choice, depending on what they're treating, it'll actually be accurate. Because I think that's part of the marketing fluff is that for a long time, companies were saying that like my or our light irradiance is the highest, so it's the best. And that was kind of like the common notion, even when I got into this space, which was early 2019. But for the first couple of years, I was almost bought into this notion that you wanted the highest light irradiance because that meant your treatments were most efficient and most effective. But that's just completely false. If we had all of these products third-party tested, then there's no best device. They're just going to have their light irradiance. They're going to have their wavelengths. And it's up to the consumer, or more so it's up to the company, to educate the consumer on how to best use their product to get the best results. So for example, we also have mouthpieces at BioLite. They're called the Guardian or Guardian Plus if you want the additional blue light. The light irradiance of those and the duration of the treatments are already automated, so you don't have to think about it. You just pop it in your mouth, turn it on, and it's either a 10 or 15 minute session depending on which device you get. When we get into like these mats or these panels or these beds that you spoke about, maybe we'll get to a place where they are automated. You kind of get into these murky waters of making medical claims. If you have a button that says reduce pain and a button that says reduce wrinkles or improve skin health or, you know, improve hair health. So that's why you don't see those types of products on the market, because that's where you get into medical claims. That's where you have to go through the circus of the FDA and spend tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to verify all of that. Thus, we're stuck with the protocols that Dr. Mike Belkowski is producing in his free time. And that means I'm just scouring the research, looking at thousands and thousands of articles. And again, trying to find the high quality research, find the jewels, so that we can plug it into this wonderful calculator on the BioLite website and you can spit out your protocol.
Well, listen, doctor, I mean, this is just incredible information. I have heard so many wonderful stories from not only my own clients on using RLT therapy. As we close, why don't you tell our listeners about, you have the number one podcast on red light therapy in the country. Tell them about your podcast and also about your website, if you would.
It's number one in the world, Jim. I'm just kidding. I think that's by default because I don't know if there is another one. So that's why it's kind of tongue in cheek. So my podcast, which I started in 2021, and again, it was just out of trying to find another platform as a way to educate people. That's kind of my main mission. And that's what kind of drives me, is to educate people, because I know it can be overwhelming to get into this space. I know everything I just threw at people in this episode today, Jim, can be a lot. When you step back and understand the basics, it's fairly straightforward. But when you're first diving in, I can understand why it's can be overwhelming. So my podcast is The Red Light Report, where I try to focus on red light therapy. When I do solo episodes, I scour the research, find cool articles related to red light therapy, mitochondrial health, methylene blue. And then I interview anyone and everyone who's an expert or utilizes red light therapy or anything to do with frequency and healing. So I get some pretty cool people on board and I get to learn from them as well. So The Red Light Report. So the website for my company is biolight.shop, S-H-O-P. So that's where people can go, you know, check out the products. But even more importantly, back to the education, is there's a tab called Learn, where there's a laundry list of conditions or ways that red light therapy can be used, such as skin. You click on the skin tab, or you click on the brain and cognition link, I should say, And then there'll be this full page of like, how does red light therapy help the skin or brain and cognition? And what does the research say about red light therapy in the skin or red light therapy and cognition? So there's a lot, as much as it is a place to sell products, it's a very much an educational platform as well. And then BioLight and myself personally, we're on Instagram. So you can go BioLight.shop for Instagram or Facebook. My personal page on Instagram is Dr. Mike Belkowski. So you can find me there or on LinkedIn. And like, if people have questions or just like want to provide some feedback or whatever, please reach out to me. I'm very approachable and more than happy to engage with people and just, again, just spread the word about red light therapy.
Well, super. It's been great having you on the program, Doctor. And I just, this is a wonderful, wonderful therapy that is non-invasive, that is helping so many people. And I appreciate you educating our audience. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.